count it a privilege to be in the house of the Lord again today. It's quite a bit different outside than it's been for the last while. It gives you some hope that spring is around the corner. And I trust as we think of spring, we think of growth, we think of new life. And I trust in our Christian lives, we're also, you know, that's a spontaneous, that's what's going on in our Christian lives. It's life. It's not something that just happens once, but it's something that has to continue and to be a part of our lives. It's spiritual growth. You know, it says there, Paul says in Romans when he talks about being baptized, he said, then we rise to walk in newness of life. And what does he mean by that? I think he means that there's a complete change. We're serving a different master. And as that change comes on, there's also the spiritual growth that has to keep on, that has to be a part of our lives. And I've titled the message this morning, Spiritual Growth is a Choice. You know, in the physical life, as a child, if things are normal, it just happens. They grow. And sometimes we discover they're growing fast. Well, the clothes that fit not very long ago don't fit anymore. But you know, if they don't grow, you know, that's also a great cause for concern. You know, a caring parent's going to do whatever it takes to get to the root of the problem. There's something wrong. There's a deeper issue. So a healthy spiritual life is a process of growth. And I love to watch plants grow. And I love alfalfa sprouts. I know not everybody does, but my daughter's just started some the other day, and it's just to see those little things starting to pop out there. And, you know, you have to give them what they need. You have to give them moisture, give them sunlight, rinse them. And then you try to wait till they're mature enough to eat. But you know, in the Christian life, the growth never stops, or we die spiritually. There's no floating along. You know, we're either paddling or we're going backwards. It's an uphill pull, you know, till we reach the other side, till death. You know, it's only then that we can find that complete rest in Christ. We can find that rest. There is a rest now, I believe, but I think it's not the same. The work is over. But sadly, not all who profess to be Christians grow spiritually. It doesn't seem like it. We have examples in the Old Testament of men that walked with God, but they let the things of this world take preeminence in their lives. I'm going to read some verses out of 1 Kings 3. Reads Solomon. You know, he was the wisest man that ever lived, it says, but he didn't follow the commandments of God. 1 Kings 3:7 says, and now, this is Solomon in his, right after he was had taken the throne, and the Lord was, telling God how he felt. He says, now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in, and thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and eat bad, for who is able to judge this so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing, and God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked for riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but thou hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. He had all this handed to him, wisdom, and he also granted him a lot more because of his humility and because of his desire to follow God. But it seems like he started reaching out. He wanted to make an impression on the nations, heathen nations around him. He fell. In 1 Kings 11, just go a couple more chapters. Starting at verse 4, it says, "For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. His heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon, and likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he had kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, For as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant." You know, here he turned from following God's commandments, his statutes. He trusted in chariots and horses. He married wives from the heathen nations around him. It seems like he wanted to be recognized. He wanted to be admired by those around him. He let idolatry come into his own household, into his and in his country, and he was involved in it himself in helping. So much potential, but such a sad ending. You know, the Christian that fails to grow becomes stagnant. It's like a pool of water. You know, it draws the wrong kind of life. If you have a pool of water setting somewhere dormant, you know, after a while you see these little squiggly things swimming around in there, and it's not something you want. It's probably mosquitoes on the way. It doesn't produce what we want. The life gets weaker and weaker. And even when the life is getting weaker, you know, they can really care about what other people think, but a lot of emphasis on maybe even important things, but the core issue is missing. Somewhere there's a deficiency. Now, spiritual growth is a choice. It doesn't happen by default, like physical growth. You know, we can compare it more to a garden. You know, we know a garden won't bear a bountiful crop without proper care. It just doesn't happen. Now, there's preparation. There's putting the proper food there for the plants. It takes weeding. It takes watering at the proper times. You know, when we see a blight happening to some of our plants, we know that we're going to have to do something. The crop's going to be poor if we have any. Things just get sicklier. It just goes downhill. And we struggle with invaders in our garden. And they're just ugly little dark gray bugs that come walking in there from somewhere. And they seem to like to start with the squash. And 2 years ago, I think it was, I went out to a garden, you know, the beautiful squash plants, they were just coming. And we had just picked a couple of them. We're looking forward to lots of them. But, you know, I went out a couple days later, and I just couldn't believe it. The things were just flat down. I thought somebody had drove in there or stomped on them or something. And I went over and looked, and here these little bugs had went down there. They got right to the root. And they were just dead, down. They wilted and gone. And, you know, now I've learned that you go look oftener to try to make sure those things don't get started. And if you see any of those things, you know, you have to do something quick. Get rid of them. You know, going out there and seeing something like that happen just almost ruins my day. It's just those little things, and you can't. They're just so hard to get rid of. They go from one plant to the next. They start with their favorite food and keep going downhill till they clean it up. And they're, you know, we have an enemy that works a lot the same way. He sneaks in just like those little bugs. He wants to stop the growth. He stays out of sight. He's underneath. He's down low. He's running in the mulch. He undermines. He gets right down to the root. He wants to make himself appear so innocent, but you know, like a gardener that knows the enemy, it's important to act quickly, or the loss will be great. There's danger. Well, spiritual growth, like emotional maturity, occurs only when we choose to grow. And there's formula for spiritual growth. The psalmist says in Psalm 42:1, "As a hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God." And Jesus says in Matthew 5, he says, "Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness." You know, has to be a desire, a want. If we do not make that choice and stick to it, there'll be no spiritual growth. Another aspect of spiritual growth is it's commanded by God. In the Great Commission, Jesus says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Jesus commanded his apostles to make disciples, to baptize, to teach, and to teach them to observe all things he commanded. Now the command is stated very clearly. And along with that, his disciples were to be obedient, constantly growing as they learned and obeyed. We find growth commanded in the epistles. You know, Peter ends his second epistle with a command to grow. He says, you know, 2 Peter 3, verse 18, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." We're to grow in grace. It's not something that stands still. It's not something that stays the same, but there's growth. We're to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Peter begins his second epistle. I'm reading a lot of verses here this morning, and you're welcome to turn to them or write them down, look at them later. I'm going to read several here out of Second Peter chapter 1. He says, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the other brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Adding to your faith, he says, add to your faith virtue knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. And it gets right on down there, right into the, right where it hits home, right into the our daily lives. Self-control. And he said, not only just have these things, but abound in these graces, being fruitful, which implies growth again. And then in Hebrews 5, he speaks very sternly to those that weren't growing. Hebrews 5, verse 12. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. You know, spiritual growth is not an option. It's not reserved for a few select Christians. But the Word of God commands us to grow. And it speaks very strongly against those that aren't growing. You know, spiritual growth is a choice that requires diligent effort. You know, don't just think because you're older, you're growing spiritually. You know, as we grow older, the effort has to stay there. It requires concentrated effort. Jesus says it requires labor in John 6:27. Jesus answered and said, answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles. Ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath the Father sealed." So he said to labor, to work. Again, it takes an effort. Work for that which perishes not. Paul writes in Philippians 2, verse 12, he says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Here again, it takes work. It takes effort. It's not something that just happens. And we'll read the next verse here a little later that follows right after that one. Philippians 3, verse 13, it says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Again, a pressing, diligence. In Peter, 2 Peter 1, verse 5, "Wherefore, the brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall." We'd read that verse earlier. It requires diligence. It requires a consistency. Like physical health, you know, spiritual growth requires regular exercise. We can't expect to just come to church on Sunday and be filled and that's going to get us through the week. You know, it's that personal walk with Christ. It's that daily, that spending that time in the Word, in prayer. 1 Timothy 4:7, he talks about exercise. He says, "But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." So not only promise that we can, the blessings here, but the blessings in the life to come. It doesn't just happen. We must work at it today. It's today. It's tomorrow. It's always. But we can take comfort that knowing that spiritual growth is a choice that we can't do in ourselves, but it's only through Christ that we can. It's that verse that followed Philippians 2, verse 13. It says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." You know, I read the verse before that. He says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." But, you know, it's only through God that we can work that out. If we'd stop with that first verse, we'd say it's impossible. I can't do it. We can't do it of ourselves. But he goes on to tell us how it's done. Allow God to work a work in your life. Let him have control. In Titus 3, the apostle gives giving instruction. He is telling them to speak evil of no man, to be gentle, meek. He says, "Because we ourselves were also in the same situation, being unkind and hateful." But he says, "After that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Isn't that beautiful, that promise? You know, that he's shedding on his, he has shed the Holy Ghost on us abundantly through Jesus Christ. It's this justification. You know, just as if we hadn't sinned, we can be free. We can be made heirs, sons and daughters, like we heard in the devotional this morning. We can come to him as our Father. You know, God desires to complete the work that he started when he saved us. Being confident, Philippians 1:6, and of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And we're strengthened by God He strengthened us by his Spirit, Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of God which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. There's a promise that he'll be with us. He'll give us the strength. He'll give us the power to grow, to be faithful, being rooted and grounded in love. He empowers us. He provides the armor. In Ephesians 6, it talks about being strong in the Lord and in the power of his might and putting on the whole armor. There's no excuse not to go with Christ with us, with Christ on our side. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. With God, spiritual growth is possible. And it's not a mediocre growth, but spiritual growth that goes beyond what we can imagine. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We are the factor. We are the limiting factor. It's not Christ. He's there, and he wants to help us. It's a choice that is blessed by God. Those blessings begin in this life. As we grow in grace, we experience the blessings of that grace in which we stand. We can experience peace, rejoicing in hope. Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And we can have confidence. We can stand and rejoice as we grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We can experience the blessings of adding virtue, knowledge. We can have confidence that he will keep us there, and we read earlier in 1 Peter, to give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. And again, don't just happen. It doesn't say you're not going to fall, but he says, if you do these things, ye shall never fall. It's spiritual growth that ensures the abundant life that Jesus promised, John 10:10. He says, a thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Again, that promise of abundant life, not just something that's mediocre, but it can be real. It can be a part of us, and we can have it abundantly. Isn't that a beautiful thought? The blessings continue to come into the life to come. 2 Peter 1:11, there again, a verse we read earlier, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We'll experience an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom. To be able to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What is done for Christ will last. That's the only treasures that we can secure, as they are the ones that we lay up in heaven. There's nothing. Everything that's here is going to rust, rot. It all corrupts. And we've been talking about growth, but the Bible doesn't have all good to say about growth. There's a negative side to growth. Matthew 24:12, he says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. You're growing cold. Jesus was speaking to his disciples. He was telling them that they were going to have to face many things, that they would face many things that would try to pull them away from the truth. There are those who grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You know, it's like the growth of cancerous cells. If it's the wrong growth can be deadly. You know, summing up spiritual growth, the kind of growth that is, you know, it's commanded by God. It requires diligent effort. It's assisted by God, and it's blessed by God. And this is the kind of growth that Peter was talking about in his, as he closed his second epistle. You know, what kind of growth is taking place in our spiritual life? If you look at your own life, where do you find yourself? Is it a deadly kind of growth that's creating a dull heart, a love that's cold, weariness in doing good, even moral corruption? Or is it a vibrant growth that we're abounding in love, joy, peace, being faithful, bearing fruit in our service to Christ Jesus? You know, when it's a negative growth, it's a result of neglect. It's what happens if we do nothing. But the positive growth comes only when we make the right choice. When we make a choice. It takes action on our part. You know, if we desire, if our heart pants after the brook, like the psalmist talks about, I believe we can be confident that we'll have spiritual growth. We'll be growing spiritually. You know, are you making the right choice today and every day? You know, every day we face that choice. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Matthew 11, 28 through 30 there. Very familiar verses, but beautiful verses of comfort. You know, I'd just like to leave the challenge with us this morning. Where do we find ourselves in our spiritual lives? And in closing, I'd like to read a little, maybe you call it an allegory. I titled it, A New Heart. And let's just think about yourself as, where do you find yourself in life? As I meet the Master and I ask him to examine my life, I feel pretty good about myself. I look good to those around me. I'm in good standing with the church and with the law. I pay my taxes. I give 10%. But he says, let me take a look at your heart. Well, now, I wasn't really looking for that. I mean, you know, can't you see well enough by looking at the exterior? What else do I need to do? Now, there are some things in my past, but that's behind closed doors. I've taken care of them. You know, I seldom visit those places. I'm doing better. In a few years, I don't expect I will be going there anymore. The Master says, unless you open up and let me see your heart, I can't help you. The choice is yours. I don't force myself on anybody. I've done everything on my end that I can do to help mankind. Now it's up to you. Well, let me think about it. I can't make a decision like that so quickly. That's your choice, he says with a compassionate look that forces me to turn the other way. You have no promise of tomorrow, he says. I can't bear to look at those pleading eyes or look down at those nail-scarred hands and feet. Oh, why is it so hard? And the picture of him hanging on that tree flashes in front of my face. Why do I so stubbornly resist when he has done so much for me? As I walk away, a voice keeps telling me, you have too many things you want to do in life. After all, you're not as bad as so-and-so. Someday, you can give him your heart. But I can't forget those hands and feet. I can't help but turn around. I see him sadly standing there. Arms outstretched. Suddenly, An overwhelming desire for peace at any cost grips my heart. I cry out in anguish as I run, stumbling because of the tears that mar my vision. I can't risk letting him get away. I want peace at any cost. Then a voice softly says, I am here. And he quoted those verses. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them a heart of flesh. That they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of the detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord God. Then he gently said, give me your heart. Let's scrub it clean with a light heart. I started scrubbing along with the master. There, that looks much better, I said. Are we done? No, he said. Here's a rough spot that we need to work on. It comes from those bitter attitudes that you have had, that you've let fester. But I can't. Yes, you can, he said. We scrubbed till our hands were raw. Now we are done, I said. He gently said, over here are some areas that you are putting ahead of me. You're letting the world dictate your actions instead of me. But, I stammer. He says, you cannot serve God and mammon. Again, we scrubbed diligently. It was painful. I noticed tears running down his cheeks, right along with mine. There were the scars that came from gossip and from those angry words. Finally, he held it up and said, there. To my utter amazement, not only the scars were gone, but the grooves were gone. Complete healing. How can this be, I ask, in astonishment? His answer was, that's what I came for. To heal. It's only by washing daily with the water of my word that you can stay clean. But remember, as long as you want my help, I will be with you even to the end of time. Let's kneel for prayer. Our kind Heavenly Father, we come before Thee again this morning. We thank You for Your love to us. We thank You that You have shown us the way and that You have walked this earth. And You came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Father, You just pray that You might be with each one here this morning. Lord, You know each heart. And You know the desires of each heart. You pray that You might strengthen each one in their walk with You. Lord, if there are those that are not walking with you, pray that you might convict and just give strength to go all the way and to just to be fully committed to you. We just thank you for your many blessings to us, for your great mercy. We just want to commit this service to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.